The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, we're so blessed in many ways to be able to celebrate this feast, the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul. One of the reasons why is because we've just come out of the Sermon on the Mount. We've just heard about the building of the house on rock versus sand. And here is Jesus calling Simon Peter, the rock, because he intends to build his house on him. And this is temple language, temple imagery, through and through, right? It relates back to the temple and it points forward to the destruction of the temple. But here, even the idea of the gates of the netherworld is itself a temple reality, because the temple as the place where heaven and earth met also is the place where heaven prevails over the netherworld. So even this, expression was related to the temple. So it's quite clear that Jesus is building a new temple movement. He's building on the profession of faith of his followers, he's building a new, coming together of heaven and earth. And we see that remarkably in the lives of Saints Peter and Paul. I think just for me, really, one kind of brief reflection, the nature of martyrdom and, of course, Saints Peter and Paul's witness to Jesus as his martyrs. We read so much, the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, it's very, very close to first-hand testimony, right? This is St. Peter telling a story. The reason why we have this story in the Acts of the Apostles about St. Peter's being freed from incarceration is because he was telling that story. Yeah? This is part of his preaching. So too, the Gospel of Mark is formed largely from the preaching of St. Peter. And of course, in St. Paul's letters, we know exactly where he was. We know exactly what he was doing. We know exactly what he believed. And here, both men are his apostles, right? Now, and we see it in the writings of St. Paul. We may not see it absolutely directly in terms of what happened, how the scene unfolded, but we saw St. Paul going after St. Peter, right? Challenging St. Peter for what he was doing and not doing. And however that was resolved, we have to infer from those accounts, because he doesn't really talk about it. What's interesting to me is that in the evening prayer that we had yesterday to celebrate the feast of Saints Peter and Paul, we heard that they loved each other. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. In fact, there's no way for St. Paul to challenge St. Peter unless that were true. There's no correction at all to be made except in love. And they knew it. They knew it more than anybody. Right? They knew it more than anybody. I mean, because we can see, remember, this part of the passage that we have in front of us, the gospel passage, where we see Jesus building his church on the confession of faith of St. Peter, on the faith of St. Peter, right after Peter says, oh, let's not do it that way, Jesus, when Jesus talks about his suffering and death, and he says, get behind me, Satan. St. Peter can only ever see himself as a forgiven sinner, someone to whom the love of God has conquered even his own opposition, the opposition of his own heart, so he can extend that love to all. And St. Paul, what great many sins, what great many crimes he's forgiven of by God when the risen Jesus meets him on the Damascus Road. And he lives in light of God's mercy. Great apostle though he is, he knows what he deserves. And he's ever grateful for the mercy of God. These are two men who embodied mercy better than almost anyone who ever lived. Right? Jesus and Mary excluded, right? These are two pillars of the church. The other is this, and this is also the nature of martyrdom. Was there apostolate, was there work for the kingdom of God, or their work in service of King Jesus? Was it a series of tasks? Was it something that they did? Or was it something that they were? Was it things they did, or was it about who they were? And this is, for me, my reflection is how I wish to be a man of integrity like Saints Peter and Paul. Because it's all about who we are. And what we do flows from that. Right? What we do comes in wake of that. But it's all about who we are. In the sense of, right, are we people of love? So do we love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or is our time in church and our time of prayer, our time of devotion, just things to check off the list? We did those things, we can move on now to something, some other things. And the same with loving our neighbor. The same with loving the people that God has caused to be in my life. Right? That loving the people that Jesus leads me to. Is it just tasks? Is it things we do? Or are we bringing our whole self? You know, even the work that we do, right? Because we've said yes to God and we've said yes to live in his service, to work in his service. What about the tasks that we do that come in the wake of saying yes to God? Right, whether it's doing unending laundry, right? Or it's punching the clock, right? It's our 9 to 5, which actually is like a 7 to 9 or something, right? Are we just doing that stuff? Is our life just filled with stuff that we do? Or are we loving God all the while through it? Is everything we do, because we're people of integrity, an offering to God? Are we bringing our whole selves into what we're doing? Are we giving our whole heart to what we're doing? Right? This is what it means to be a Christian of integrity. Right? And this is the challenge of the apostles. Because think martyrdom, how do we get, this is the point, right? How do we get there? How do we get to martyrdom? Because that's where we have to be. Get to martyrdom by giving our whole heart and our whole life. If Christian life is only a series of checkboxes, martyrdom is a checkbox that's a little too far. But if Christian life is just about faithful witness, trusting and following Jesus, loving God, and bringing his love for me and his love for others to life in the world, then we can get there. If we won't get to the point of giving our whole heart, we won't get to the point of giving our whole life if we don't give it today. if we don't give it today. And so we see it in the lives of Saints Peter and Paul. They give everything to Jesus. Everything. Right? Peter could have, as he was leaving Rome, running away from persecution, he could have said, I kind of give everything, Jesus. I kind of did everything already. I preached it all. You know, like I preached it all. And everybody knows I spread the good news. I did the thing, right? I did the thing. No. You got to give everything. And so he went back to die. He went back to die in Jesus' service. Because it wasn't things that he was doing. It was who he was. So and he lived love. He lived for the other. He lived for Jesus. He lived for the other all the way to the end. And that's what we're encouraged to do today. Live for Jesus all the way to the end. The rest doesn't matter. If we die or not in his service, it doesn't matter. Because we live in his service. And that's the most important thing in the world.